had something that we didn't have, but we do have because it lives in us. Those early Christians in that upper room had seen and witnessed the resurrected Christ. Death could not hold him. And when you don't fear death, you don't fear much of anything, do you? Amen. Through Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear death any longer. Stuart's prayer was powerful and effective, and so I'm not going to... He prayed about everything I was going to pray for y'all anyway in the opening, so we'll just call that good, and then we'll just get right into the Word. And we're in this series called Open Mouth, and today my teaching is going to be about the empowered mouth, the Holy Spirit speaking through us, and how that can be effective. And I think this is really timely because, as most of you guys knew, we started a new through the weeks series called the witness practice. How many of you guys signed up for that and are involved with that? We had our first session last week. We have ours here in Harvest on Sunday evenings at 6:30, and then there's several different groups that are meeting on Wednesdays, I believe. I know Brian and Jeanette, and I don't know who all's in your group, and I don't know, Sean's has a group as well, and there's several different groups meeting on Wednesday nights if you want to be a part. I think there's still time, right? That you can come in and join, because it's really, really good. I just say that. So if you can spare about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours to come to the groups and learn how to witness to folks, because that's what we've been called to do, right? It's what we've been called to do. And we're going to see a story in the book of Acts about that, about the boldness. What we're talking about today is how the Spirit empowers us and makes us bold, okay? So the story is going to be about in Acts 3 and 4, Peter and John are getting ready to go to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and pray, and as they're going in, some people are bringing a beggar in to set him at the temple gate so he can get money from people as they come by, right? So as Peter and John are walking by, the beggar looks at him and, you know, expecting him to give him some money. And Peter says, "Gold or silver I don't have, but what I do have I give unto you. Take up your mat and walk." And then get the guy up, and he stands on his own two feet for the first time in his whole life. And he takes a step, and he begins to walk. And he begins to walk, and he begins to jump, and he begins to dance. And everybody sees him rejoicing about being healed. And they all see this guy, knowing that he's been there all this time as a lame beggar. Well, the commotion in the crowd has drawn the attention of the temple guards and some of the religious leaders. And they came, and because Peter started addressing the crowds and saying, "You see this beggar who's been here all this time that now can walk, and it is not by anything that we've done, it is by the name of Jesus that this man has been healed." Well, when he said that, they came and they arrested Peter and John, and since it was late in the evening, they didn't know what to do, so they threw him in jail. The next morning, they take him before the council, and they said, "Under whose power and what name do you do these things?" Then Peter, man, I can relate to him in so many ways. You know, when they arrested Jesus and they took him away, he denied that he even knew him 3 times, right? We know the story. He was in fear for his life. But now, standing before the same people who took Jesus away that night, he proclaims boldly that it was in the name of Jesus that this man was healed. And he begins this to witness to them about how the prophets testified about the coming of the Messiah, and they killed him for it. And the council went and told them to go away for a little bit, and they came back and says, we don't know what to do. If we punish them, then the crowd's going to get mad at us, and that won't be good. But we can't keep them. They can't keep talking about Jesus the way they are. And that one of the things that they had an issue with is because they were talking and preaching about Jesus being raised from the dead. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were Sadducees. Right? They didn't believe in the resurrection. And they were sad because of it. I'd be sad. If this life was all we had, wouldn't you be sad too? But I know that I have, through faith in Jesus Christ, a blessed assurance of eternal life to see him one day in heaven. Man, I can't wait for that day. I'm getting closer all the time. Amen. So anyway, the council comes back and they tell him no longer to speak in the name of Jesus. When I love what they say in return when they say that to him. I wrote it down, or I got it bookmarked here somewhere. Oh, let me get over here. Well, anyhow, they told them not to be, I thought I had it highlighted. They told them not to speak anymore and teach anymore under that name. And they responded to him. Now, this is with boldness again, knowing that they had power over life and death. You know, they're the ones that had Jesus crucified. They said, what is best? Should we obey you or obey God? We cannot stop speaking about what we have witnessed. What we've witnessed. We're called to be witnesses. What has God done in your life, and who are you sharing it with? And if you're not sharing it, why not? Why not? So anyway, when they were finally released and they went back and they told all the people, the believers, what had happened to them, and it says that when they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign God, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through your ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle, and rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod and Antipas and Pontius Pilate, the governor of the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And this is where our theme verse for this message today is. And it says, now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. See, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he gives you boldness. Peter, before the Holy Spirit, was afraid. When the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was bold. He was bold. But one thing that we have to see in this is not only were they bold, but they prayed. They prayed. They met together daily and they prayed. They had broke bread together, but they prayed. You know, and for those who were in the witness practice this last week, what was the first thing that we were told to do? To pray. To pray. That God would open the doors. So we see that happening in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's no wonder. Jesus himself said, you will receive power when the Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses, telling everything that you see me do And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, it didn't just stop. The design was for it to fill the whole earth. We want heaven to be full, amen? So what are you going to do about it, church? Are we doing our part? Or are we being afraid? Are we bold today? You know, and it's hard sometimes. I remember, you know, I had a boldness. I don't know, I couldn't stop from talking about what God had done for me when I got saved. I think I told you about that. The day after I received salvation through my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I was walking to school. And man, the Spirit was on me, and I was, woohoo! I was fired up, I'll tell you that. And I had to tell somebody what Jesus had done for me. And I just went up to some random door, and I knocked on it. And some little old lady came out, and I told her, I said, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my soul last night, and he'll do the same for you. And she smiled at me and says, son, you just blessed my heart, but I've been a Christian for a long time. Thank you for that encouragement today. You know, everybody needs encouragement, don't they? And I don't care how long you've been a Christian, but if somebody comes up and tells you God loves you, that's just a reminder, isn't it? Sometimes we forget that fact. For God so loved us that he gave Jesus that we might have eternal life. Amen? So anyhow, that we can sometimes be a little afraid. We can be afraid. What are we afraid of? Rejection, maybe? But they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the Lord. They're rejecting the Lord. All we have to do is be obedient. We have to be obedient and to tell them about that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 says that God didn't give us a spirit of timidity or fear, right? But he gave us one of what? Power, love, and self-control. That Holy Spirit power should guide our lives. Love should determine what we do. And self-control, sound mind. You know, I love that some of these versions say it's a sound mind instead of self-control. It reminds me of one of my verses that I used when I was doing my hillbilly clown routine with Cletus. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. If we are out of our mind, it's for the sake of God, but if we're in our right mind, it's for your sake. And it says this in 14, for Christ's love compels us. His love compels us to go and share the gospel with somebody. For we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all must die, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. There's that resurrection power. Amen. And it says, although we once viewed people in a worldly point of view as we did Christ, we do so no longer. For the old has gone and the new has come. Amen. The new has come. And it goes on to say, if I don't know all that by memory or verbatim, but it says that it is as though God is using us to reconcile himself to the world. And it says this, and we get this from our youth group in the Assembly of God, and it says, we therefore are now Christ's ambassadors. Right, Jeff? Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors, as if God was reconciling the world through us to himself. But he didn't give us a spirit of fear. He didn't do that. God loves us. He loves you. 1 John chapter 4, verse, I think it's 16 through 18. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, we know how much God loves us as we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in him. That spirit lives in you. And as we live in God and love grows more perfect, so we will not, listen to this, we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. We can stand, we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels fear. And Jesus Christ loves you perfectly. Amen. Perfect love drives out fear. And that's the thing that I really want to share with you. You know, last week when we were having our witness practice meetings, one of the things that it wanted us to do was write down 3 to 5 people who we love that don't know Jesus. And I told my group, top on the list of names that I'm writing down is my father. And I love him with all my heart. He's my dad. But he don't know Jesus. And he's not in the best of health. Monday, I get a text from my stepsister who lives in Bedford, where my dad's at a nursing home. He had a stroke last Wednesday. It's the second one he's had, and he's had pneumonia, and his health is declining rapidly. And she said they've called me and they've told me that your dad's blood pressure's dropping, his heart rate's raising, and we don't know if it means the end or not, but it could be close. And then the nursing home itself called me, and because I'm POA, they wanted me to sign some papers for hospice care. So I left immediately to go up there because I don't want to not see my dad in heaven. And I told you earlier, love makes you bold, right? Christ's love compels us. So as I'm going up there, I'm praying, Lord, just, he hadn't been conscious for 2 days or a day and a half, I think they said. I said, Lord, just allow him to receive what I have to speak to him. I don't know what I'm going to tell him, but I know I need to tell him something about Jesus. I called my uncle Kenny Dalton. He's been a pastor and faithful servant of the Lord for years and years and years, and he's about my dad's same age, and I know he's talked to my dad about God. And I asked him to start praying as I'm heading up there. And I get up there, and my stepmom is there crying. Dad is unresponsive in his bed. And I told my stepmom what I needed to do. I said, this is the most important thing that I'll probably ever do in my life. And a decision my dad has to make on his own. He said, well, you can wake him up. He hadn't been awake. I already knew my God was working. So I knelt down by his bedside and I started talking in his ears, and lo and behold, his eyes opened. Go God. And I began to talk to him. I said, Dad, there's something I need to talk to you about, and I should have a long time ago, and I apologize to you and I ask forgiveness from my God. But I need to know one day if this might be our last chance to speak and to meet. I need to know that you're going to meet in heaven someday. And I don't know what it was. The Holy Spirit just brought us a time in our lives together up. And I might have been 4 or 5 years old. And I said, you remember, Dad, the time when we lived out a little greenhouse and the old smokehouse had a bee's nest in it? And you told us boys not to go around there and mess with them bees. And he nodded his head. And I said, remember how I disobeyed you and I started throwing rocks at those bees, and they found me and they swarmed me and I had bees all over me and I was screaming. And he started crying. I said, I remember you coming to my rescue and you were pulling bees off of me. And then they started stinging you and I could hear you singing, ow, ow. But you kept pulling the bees off of me as you were experiencing the pain of those stings. I said, well, Dad, that's kind of the way it is with your Heavenly Father and all of us, for we've all sinned. But see, God's laid down His law to us, and we've been obedient, disobedient to it. Sin has entered into the world, and pain comes with it through disobedience. But God made a way and a rescuer for us in the sin that we experienced and the pain that we've felt and have caused. Jesus came and He took that pain for you and me. By this time, my dad... And I said, Dad, but he can only take your pain and your sin if you open your heart to Him. And I said, if that's something you feel like you need to do, then I want to pray with you. And I said, I don't know if you can repeat after me or not, but I want you to try. And I began to lead him in a prayer about acknowledging God who sent His Son because He loved him, how we are all sinners saved by grace, how Jesus was our rescuer, and He received Him as His Savior. He asked God to come into his heart, forgive him of his sins. And for the first time in my life, I can say with confidence, my daddy's a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. He's a Christian. You know, and so many times we forget our God is a powerful God. That same Holy Spirit that gives Peter the boldness gave my daddy ears to hear the message. So He works in both ends, doesn't He? And I want to share we were going to play it, but Facebook won't let us live stream music. And this is a song that I want to challenge you with. And it was the one that I used 20-some years ago as a door opener to reach people for Jesus Christ. It was after my son Nick died, and I was doing a lot of evangelistic ministry work. And this was a song that opened the door for many people. And I can't play it. We're not going to hear it today in the song. But if you will Google Casting Crowns, Here I Go Again, then you can hear the music in the song. I'm just going to read the lyrics to you. It says, Father, hear my prayer. I need the perfect words, words that He will hear and know that they're straight from You. I don't know what to say. I only know it hurts to see my only friend slowly fade away. So maybe this time I'll speak the words of life with Your fire in my eyes. But that old familiar fear is tearing at my words. What am I so afraid of? Because here I go again, talking about the rain and mulling over things that won't live past today. And as I dance around the truth, time is not His friend. This might be my last chance to tell Him that You love Him. But here I go again. Here I go again. Lord, You love Him so, and You gave Your only Son, that if He would just believe, He would never die. But how then will He know what He's never heard? Lord, He's never seen mirrored in my life. So maybe this time I'll speak the words of life, fire, Your fire in my eyes. But that old familiar fear is tearing at my words. What am I so afraid of? What am I so afraid of? What am I so afraid of? What are you so afraid of? See, God has given you a spirit. And that spirit will give you the boldness, because that spirit that lives in you is love. And that love is compassion towards people. That's the way Jesus operated, right? He had compassion on those He saw who were hurting and who were dying. He wanted them to be healed. He wanted them to be well. He wanted them to have eternal life. And it only comes through one way, through Jesus. And faith comes by what? Hearing the word. Well, how will they hear if you don't tell them? How will they hear if you won't tell them? Love makes you bold, brothers and sisters. Are you bold today? Are you afraid of persecution? Because the early church, they faced it. It didn't matter because they saw with their own eyes, some of them, that early church, the resurrected Jesus Christ. And Jesus, when he set out, when he sent out the 72, I think it's in Matthew 10. I just want to read this to you. And he says this. He says, "You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and the unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." You don't have to fear. You don't have to be afraid. Jesus didn't hold anything back for you. Why would you hold anything back for him? We need to be bold. There's a lost and dying world outside of these walls, even in our own community, that need to know Jesus. And maybe you might be the only vessel that they'll encounter that has the truth to give them. Won't you be bold? God's put that spirit in you, and it's not a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, of love, and self-control. We got to quit playing church, folks. We don't know when the last day might come to that friend that the Holy Spirit's bringing to your mind right now. How many of your friends do you want to see go to hell? I challenge you. Ask God to give you words to speak and an opportunity to speak. Because I tell you what, if you just raise that friend up to the Lord in prayer before you speak to him, God will work on the other end, drawing him in. I've seen it happen before. Years ago, Tracy Cook, he had a desire, and the Lord had spoke to him, and he just wanted to reach out and to witness to people about Jesus. And Maury at the time, our pastor, he said, "Well, maybe we'll pair you up with Brad and send you out, kind of like Paul and Barnabas." And so Tracy called, and I said, "Hey, let's do this. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know where we'll go, but let's just plan on meeting at the city park Friday night, and we'll see what happens." So Friday night, Tracy and I meet at the park, and we get out of the car and start standing by the cars and just looking at each other and talking. Didn't know what was going to happen. About that time, here comes this group of kids surrounding us. They were my son's, Nick's friends, a lot of them. They knew him. They knew me. And they wanted to know what we were doing there, and I began to tell them we were coming to talk to him about Jesus. And I told them about Nick, and I played them that Casting Crown song. I said, "That's why we're here. You need to know Jesus Christ." And as that song's playing, we got, I don't know, maybe 8, 9, 10 kids just got the Dodge Durango, 1999 Dodge Durango with the hatch open, and the music's coming out the back end, and these kids are in a circle sitting on the ground around us. And as that song's playing, I start seeing a couple of those kids, and they're just sobbing, crying. Two of them came to know Jesus that night in the parking lot of Eastside Park. The next morning, I get a phone call from one of their buddies. Well, I guess it was the next afternoon after school. Not the next morning, it was the next Monday. And the kid says, "Hey," he said, "I don't know what you were doing out there at the park the other day, but keep doing it, because that's all that man, that Tyler could talk about, was him getting saved." So, you know, just be obedient. The first two letters in the gospel are what? G-O, go. Just go. Make disciples. what we're called to do, each and every one of us. Amen. God too paid too high of a price for us not to share our faith with somebody else today. So as we prepare for a time of communion, I'm going to have musicians come up. But I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, start doing your work. Maybe there's somebody in here today that doesn't have that blessed assurance that they'd make it to heaven someday if they died tomorrow or this moment coming after this one. If you don't know without a doubt that you're saved and you will go to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ, I would ask you to either come to me or just raise your hand where you're at. We have a lot of folks that will come around praying for you. We're a praying folk. We love to pray for people, and we would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. Maybe you've been carrying a burden for a long time, and you just want to have that thing lifted up off of you. Jesus is strong enough to do that. So as we prepare to take communion, their elements are set up on the four corners of the room. And we'll just open up the altar. We'll open up the chairs in front. We'll open up the tables of grace to those who want to partake in communion. So Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for your Son who gave himself for us, the body that was broken that we might be healed, and the blood that flowed down that cross that took away our sin, made us right with you. You said that we need to remember that act of sacrifice and what it cost you, God, to save us. So we do. Every Sunday we come here and we partake of communion as we remember your holy sacrifice. And Lord, for those who are here, maybe they're riding the fence on their spirituality and they don't know what they believe. I pray, Father, that you would make it clear and evident to them that you are the one true living God. You are the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. And it's in you we put our trust in. So we thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.